I was just so excited to get up here. Ryan goes, dude, we got another song. It's like the main one. That was real. That was not scripted. I was really so excited. We've been talking about this for, I don't know, a month or more than that, about doing this sacred soundtrack, and I am very excited about it because I, like most of you and like everybody up here, I love music. And I love it in a variety of ways, and I can't imagine my life without music in a variety of significant ways. And we're going to talk about that. Over the next several weeks, we're going to take one or sometimes two songs, focus on those, show how those songs point us to Scripture and how they're drenched in Scripture, and how that sings the melody of God's grace into our hearts. It teaches us theology. But the music itself, the instrumentation, does something as well. And doing it together as a community does something as well. This is not just a couple of songs that you can skip and get to the main part where I talk. Or hurry up and let's get to communion. Songs, music, are important, and they're important to the heart of God. So we're going to be doing that over the next several weeks, and I really am excited. When I was a little kid, I was very excited about the anticipation that came from something else. It wasn't church. It was this thing on TV, and it began with these letters, M-I-C. Yes, half of you know the rest of that song. But I just need to help some of you get past the retro era and get into the new era. Come on, dance! It's... My grandsons are all very impressed with me right now that I played Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on stage. But when I was a kid, it was a different song. It went like this. Anybody know it? Yeah, exactly. There's like 10 of you not singing right now. You need to download this from iTunes and learn it and teach it to your kids because it's a powerful song. It's all about growing up and a boy coming of age and the way we can be playful and the way music can do some wonderful things in our soul. When I got older, there was another song that became important to me. The most overplayed rock and roll song in the history of the world. My son, who works for Guitar Center, said, Dad, if I hear that song one more time. Every guitar hero wants to play it. Can you guys do it for me? Let's do it for real. Come on. See? Because when that song came out in the early 70s, all hell was breaking loose. And I really wasn't getting answers at church. But all of a sudden, Robert Plant sang something that made sense to me. If all that glitters is gold and there's a lady who thinks she can buy a stairway to heaven. And it didn't give me answers, but at least it told me that somebody else was thinking strange thoughts like I was. So music has this real strange power. It has the ability to gather us and to form us. And it has that ability, even if we're not exactly sure where it's coming from. So the other day, I was driving with my two older grandsons, and we were talking about movies. And I said, have you guys ever seen Mission Impossible? And they said, no, we've never seen the movie. And then they did this. Dun, 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 dun. They've never seen the movie, but they know the tune. How does that happen? Because music, it just ripples through our lives in such powerful ways. The song that we did just a few minutes ago, before my interruption of the So Will I, but the first song that we did, All Creatures of Our God and King, was written hundreds of years ago by the guy by the name of St. Francis Assisi. And then a few years ago, a contemporary Christian musician by the name of David Crowder put it to a slightly different tune, and so it's now this sort of transcendent song that has spanned the ages. It's got an ancient future feel, and it picks up all those wonderful words of Psalm 148. So what is it that we do when we sing? What happened when we sang All Creatures of Our God and King? It went from a bunch of individuals to a group of people on the same melody, with a little harmony, with some instrumentation underneath carrying us forward, learning a theology together, lifting up our voices to God in a powerful and profound way. Let me read to you what the Apostle Paul had to say about that. And Paul is writing these letters under persecution and probably from prison. He says this to one of the churches, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." How many of you could use just a dose of the peace of Christ in your heart? I can. "Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Ryan, I noticed something about this verse. It says, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. It doesn't say singing with perfect song, melody, pitch, harmony. How many of you think you can sing like Kelly or sing like Tiffany? Well, you're all fired, right? Then you can't worship. No. It's about lifting your voice. I want to hear some broken voices. I want to hear some offbeat, off-key, off-harmony, off-pitch voices. Yeah. Because God hears them. God hears this too. Not singing. What are we doing the singing for? Let's get to the preaching. I want to hear what he's got to say. Or sometimes we do this through the songs. Yeah, let's see. What did I get that important text? That really important email newsletter that I've just been dying for? Let's see what's on Facebook. Friends, it's time to worship. If that's not enough motivation, let me give you one more kind of scriptural motivation for lifting praise. Going all the way back to the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles, when they were dedicating the new temple, King Solomon, he's leading worship service, and it says there were 120 priests sounding trumpets. That's 120 trumpet brass group. That's a lot of noise. The trumpeters and the musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by the trumpets, cymbals. Can I get a cymbal? Cymbal. And then it just says, and all the other instruments, because there are 89 or so instruments mentioned in the Old Testament, some of which we have no idea what they looked like or sounded like. Then the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." Can I hear you say that? Loud.
He is good, his love endures forever.
Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the presence of the Lord. You want to get me to be quiet? Fill this place with the presence of the Lord. Let's sing.
Worship, so will I. every burning star a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so
I can see your heart in everything that you've made. Every burning star is a signal fire of grace. See, I need the description of worship language to teach me the why of the stars and the purpose of the stars and the meaning of the stars. I need the language of worship to lead me to the throne of the who made the stars. I absolutely need science to help me understand how the stars work and how they work in conjunction with all the rest of the created order. Absolutely. But it's in this place, together with these people, that we gain a perspective that cannot be gained anywhere else. That all that you see, all that you feel and smell and hear and taste, all of it is made by a good God. This song, So Will I, begins at the right place. It begins with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. The word for God in Genesis 1:1 is the Hebrew word Elohim, which means a God of plenitude, a God who cannot be contained in one name, a God who has more, who's magnificent and lovely and beautiful. And out of that magnificence and loveliness and beauty, it spilled out because God is generative and creative, and he created. The scientific way of saying that is 10 to the 43rd power seconds ago, or 14.3 billion years ago, there was a singularity which is smaller than anything you've ever seen. And out of that singularity came all that we know. Every matter, every mass, every neutron, every black hole, every mitochondria in your cell, every breeze, every babbling brook came out of that singularity. In the beginning, God. And this song gives us that perspective. It takes us all the way back to the beginning, and it teaches us something. We are wired for music. If 100 billion stars sing, so will I. You know why it says that? Because Job, in Job 38, Job has a tough time. If you've not read Job, I highly encourage it. He really has a tough time. He loses everything. And his religious friends show up and they're arguing with him, and he says, no, I don't deserve this. Something's wrong, but I know who to go to. It's the creator of the universe. And finally in chapter 38, the creator of the universe shows up and says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you when the morning stars sang at creation? Now think about that. That is God saying that before there was ever a Bible, it was a song. Before there was a human being to read the Bible or sing the song, there was a star who said, glory be! Ha-ha! This is cool, God. Yes! Let's do more. Creation unfolding. What a powerful thing. Scientists tell us that at a neurobiological level, there's about 100 trillion neurobiological connections in your body, and they reverberate with music. Music has the power to energize. That's why we use it to dance. That's why we use it to march. Music has the power to make things go faster. That's why we listen to music when we do our chores. That's why I listen to music when I run. Makes me feel like I'm going faster than I really am. Music connects with us in a deep and powerful and profound kind of way. Because physicists say that the universe at its very base level, at a subatomic quantum level, is nothing but a quivering mass of strings of energy that generate sound. The entire universe is a song. And you and I are notes in it. Important notes. Loved notes, created notes. And the song tells us that. It's a powerful thing to think about all creation. That when you leave this place, whether it's raining or sunshine, wherever you're going to go, all that you encounter is created by a good God. So you leave here with a perspective that carries with you throughout the whole week. I like to remember that God is the God of all creation when I'm out doing some of my favorite things. So a couple of weeks ago, I got to take the Good Shepherd Dive Ministry. Yes, we have one of those, of course. And we went diving, and I was thinking about this song when this happened.
That is nasty.
Who knew that the bluegills really love leftover turkey beef jerky? All you fishermen in here, it's the secret sauce. But that's what the song is talking about. All creation flourishes. But God created this wonderful universe to be celebrated and enjoyed. Those bluegills aren't trying to be anything else. They're just trying to be what they are, just fish. And I am reminded that I am a part of that creation. Let's sing.
God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, syllable empty.
So the song moves from the foundation of God is the creator. This is the right place for all theology. If you're not sure who is behind it all, then all the rest gets all tangled up. But if you start with that premise, that from nothing came something created by a God who loves us, then the song moves into a God of promise. He is a God of covenant. He has covenanted with Adam and Eve and Noah and Moses and Abraham and David and the prophets and Jesus and Paul and the church, and he makes covenants with us. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. My burden is easy, my yoke is light. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be given to you. Those are promises that God makes to us. He is a God of promise. And so if the stars can recognize that, so will I. If the oceans recognize that, so will I. If the fish in that little quarry an hour from here, if they recognize it, then so will I. God is a God of promise. There's something powerful. Can you give me that drum beat real quick? See, the music is doing something too, because the God of the universe who created the world and sustains it by the laws of physics and chemistry and biology, those laws are sustaining us no matter what else is happening. And then the guitar kicks in and the rest of the band kicks in. Go ahead. I know I'm messing you up, but go for it. Can I get a note from our wonderful singers? But you hear the drums? Okay, cut. I just wanted to do that. That was cool. The music is doing something. It's teaching you theologically there's harmony and symmetry. God creates a world in which life can occur. It's designed. There's an intentionality, a thoughtfulness. The music rises and our hearts rise. The music quiets and we quiet. It's powerful stuff. Okay, lift it back up. Play full volume. Go on, crank it up. Now you guys keep playing loud. Can you take down the sound?
Yes.
So you can't hear the guitars right now because they're reinforced by the sound, but the drums sort of carry. Okay, bring back up the sound. That's so fun, wow. But what I just did is a metaphor as well. There is a God who is sovereign, who is the orchestra conductor of the entire universe. And he wants you to sing his song. He wants you to be one of the "so will I's." Some powerful language. We move from the God who's the creator to the God who's made promises to the God who looks out on the world and sees that it's broken, and he moves in to bring salvation. Individual salvation, corporate salvation, salvation for the entire creation. The Apostle Paul said, "All creation groans." Every eagle, every fish, every horse, every cow, every person, every nation, every stream, every tree, all creation groans. waiting for the adoption, the sons and daughters of God by the Most High, by the power of the King of Kings. That's language that you only get, you only hear in Scripture and in song and in worship. And it gives us a perspective that God loves his entire creation, but he loves you and you and you and me and us. And it's not just I really feel good about them kind of love. It's an action-oriented love. It's a love that moves towards us. The scripture says in one of the final prophets of the Old Testament, Zephaniah, when Israel was worried, but Lord, our enemies are around us. Lord, there's chaos in the streets. Lord, the politicians are going nuts. Lord, the economy, I'm worried. Lord, there's violence locally. Lord, my marriage is in trouble. Lord, my kids are not listening. Lord, my friends are betraying me. Lord, 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 Lord. This is what the prophet Zephaniah said. He said, the Lord your God is with you. He is a mighty warrior who saves. He takes great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Remember every time you hear a song that the Lord God sings over you. He knows what you walked in this place with. 300-something different stories in this room right now, and Jesus knows every single one of them and came to redeem every single one of them. If he had to do it 100 billion times, he'd do it. If I was the only one on the planet, he would come for me. That's powerful stuff, friends. And he comes in the midst of my fear and my worry. What are you worried about today? What are you struggling with today? What's got you anxious today? Headlines, politics. A few weeks ago, I was walking down the hall just like 50 feet from here, and I heard this wonderful sound. Check it out. It was this. Bible study, about 15, 20 women, and they're praying and singing. And this was during the summit in Singapore to try to draw North Korea and South Korea together. Whatever you think of the politics, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a group of people whose hearts have been shaped by worship, who know that good kings come and bad kings come. Good kings go, bad kings go. But above all and behind all is a sovereign God. And he is the one I need to appeal to. And so these Korean women, some of whom have relatives that they have not seen because they're in North Korea, are praying. And if you've never been to that area of the world, you don't know the tension. I've been there. And they're praying and they're doing what this song says. They're going, you are the God of salvation. You created this world. You promised. Now, Lord God, we need your help today. So whatever you came in here with, I love these lines. Ryan and I were talking about this week. Through all my failure and pride, see, it goes from the global to the personal. Everyone in this room, say this gently, is filled with sin. That is a distancing of us from our Creator. God has created us, but we don't choose sometimes to live the way he's created us. We don't choose to live based on his promises, and so we break his laws, break his covenants. We hurt one another. We hurt ourselves. Jesus said the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. That pretty much sums it up. And in fact, Jesus said, this sums up all the law and the prophets. Do this thing. Recognizing that every one of us will fail miserably. And as tough as it is to hear, I need worship to tell me that. I need to come sometimes and remember that the God who is a creator, the God who is a promiser, also is a God who has chosen to seek me out in spite of my junk. See, I'm not going to hear that in Naperville. If I hear about my junk, it's going to be somebody gossiping about me. That's not what God is doing. God is saying, in spite of the fact that you do not deserve my grace, precisely at your worst moment, that's when I stepped in. The Apostle Paul said, when you were enemies, you can't get further away than an enemy. It's right then. You see, all of us have moments in our life that we wish would never end. Worship reminds us that those are a gift of a good God. All of us have in our life moments we wish never happened. That one. The one that if you go there, you could think about it right now. That hurtful place. Somebody hurt you. Somebody betrayed you. Somebody forgot you. Or you betrayed somebody. You hurt somebody. You excluded somebody. Your fears erupted and your faith got pushed to the side and you operated out of fear. Everyone in this room, if you're honest, and this is a place to be honest, you see, because worship and these songs, they should make us uncomfortable but not unsafe, because I am in the presence of a Savior who came for me. I am in the presence right now of a Holy Spirit who can heal. Whatever junk you walked in with, whatever story, the music tells me that God wants to be part of my story in a healing kind of way, in a transforming kind of way. And in worship, 100 billion failures disappear. The scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. How far is that, by the way? That your sin, even though it's like crimson, will be white as snow. And it says that Jesus lost his life here on this planet, entered into this chaos and this pain. And I love these lines. You lost your life so I could find it here. On a hill you created, the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. Sometimes I do not understand God the Father. Sometimes I don't understand the Creator. I don't. God seems distant. Maybe none of you have ever experienced that, but I have. But when I get to the cross and I listen to Jesus and he gets towards the end of that terrible Friday afternoon and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's a raw honesty there that even if you have questions, even if you have doubts, this is precisely the place to bring them. In fact, the scripture writers don't want to clean it up. They don't even translate it for you. They leave it in the Aramaic. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Why? And just a few moments later, it says that Jesus gives up his spirit to God in faith, saying, okay, I'm going to ride this out. I'm trusting you, God. Here's my last breath. But then the song does something wonderful. The light of the world abandoned in darkness to die. As you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. You lost your life so I could find it. If you left the grave behind, so will I. Death cannot defeat you. Sin cannot destroy you. The two enemies of human beings are sin and death. And the song reminds me that the Creator God who promised pursues. He is the God who created you. He is the God who has made promises to you. And he is the God who comes after you with a saving kind of love. He is powerful and mighty. If that has moved your heart, mind, soul, and body, then as an act of worship on the way out, there are baskets that you can give financially, knowing that all your financial gifts go into 70 or 80 different ministries that touch people with the So Will I love of God internationally, nationally, and locally. If you want to respond in worship as you leave, that's your final kind of act of worship today as you walk out of this space and head out into your Soulai life. Let me remind you, though, of a few things that we've learned today. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, if the oceans roar your greatness, if everything exists to lift you high, if the wind goes where you send it, if you can love the unlovable, if you can forgive the betrayers, if you can bless the children, if you can speak truth to power, if you can stand with the powerless, if you can turn the other cheek, if you can sing with abandon, if you can live with deep joy and intimacy, if you can break down racial walls, if you can pray with power and lead with compassion, if you can seek first the kingdom of God. Amen, friends.
While we go forth singing this out, declare it at the start.
If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. Ashes roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the
is anybody thankful for that here this morning? Come on, give a shout in his name. Come on.
Well, you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I.
Lift up a shout of praise and thanksgiving in this place.